Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Shaggy, who will be coming to Wolf Trap on Sunday, September 1st with UB40. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I'm good, Jason. What's up, man? Wolf Trap's my spot.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Because I've been playing that venue for years, man. From the beginning of my career, I've played Wolf Trap over and over for years. Came there when I had Mr. Boombastic on a show called Reggae Madness with me, Shabaranx, and Maxi Priest. I've done it several times after that since. It's a beautiful venue. I know they always had a bit of a noise restriction with it, but nevertheless, it's just a place that you can rock and just have it's a family day thing, man. And this one is going to be amazing with me and UB40. It's summer, it's reggae, it's Shaggy, it's UB40. It's just a great time.
Yeah, you figured it out, too. I mean, it's like my favorite spot in the area, too, because, you know, there's a bunch of clubs around the town, but, man, that's the only one where you're, like, in the middle of a national park and there's trees all around, and it's just a cool vibe outside summer. I can't, you know, imagine a better place for you. You and
yeah,
UB40.
I've never checked the town out, though. I should do that.
Speak a little bit more about touring with UB40. We spoke with those guys in the past, but, you know, your musical styles obviously will gel super well, you know, to tour together at a concert. But, you know, what's it been like just, you know, behind the scenes with those guys?
Well, you know, I've known Ali for years and that whole gang. We were label mates when they were in their heyday with that album, Promises and Lies. We're on Virgin together. I'm very, very well familiar with them, their catalog, their music. We're personal friends. I toured with them in Australia. I've toured with them in Dubai. And, you know, we did a whole tour with me, them, and I think it was Eddie Grant and Lauren Hill, I think, throughout all of Australia and New Zealand. And, you know, the party, you can't go around those iconic songs, Red, Red Wine, you know, Wise Man Sing, all these records are massive, massive. Kingston Town, big records, you know, great reggae vibe. You just feel like you're on vacation when you're there. And I think people should come with that in mind, that they're just going to come there. It's summer, dress comfortably, have a few drinks, you know, be out there with your kids, enjoy some reggae vibe, feel the sunshine and the weather in a beautiful venue in the middle of a park with trees and the outdoors, and I think it's just a perfect fit. Like, it's a mini vacation.
Awesome. Take our listeners back. Remind us how you got into music in the first place. Because I know you're born in Jamaica and grew up there. Took a little singing courses a little bit, but didn't a lot of your, you know, you did a lot of singing and honed your craft in the Marines, right? Tell us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Kingston. I still live in Kingston. I'm actually calling you from Kingston right now.
That's awesome.
At my home.
Greetings to Jamaica.
Yeah, so, yes, always, you know. But I lived in New York for quite some time in the early 90s. And I went into the U.S. Marines. I served 4 years in the U.S. Marines and about 7 months in the first Gulf War. You know, a lot of my style or my vocal style comes from me running and singing cadence. I was really, really good at singing cadences. And once I kept singing it, people would be like, oh, that's just, you know, I would do really funny cadences. And, yeah, after a while in doing it, people wanted me to do it more. And when you're running, you know, three, four, five miles and singing at the top of your lungs, you start to sing from your belly instead of from your throat. And then it just developed this really soft. I don't know, but I've been told my CO wears pantyhose. And it would be that kind of a vibe where I make these funny cadences and everybody, it would really motivate the running. And I kept doing it. But little did I know at that point, that was really vocal training. Because now I'm on stage doing this every night for, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours. It's the greatest fun I could have. I couldn't ask for a better career.
That's such a cool story. Thanks for sharing that one. All right. Well, then once you're actual, you know, once you start actually, you know, you take the name Shaggy, I assume Scooby-Doo, and then you go in, you have your first big hit with O Carolina. But the one I really, really remember from when I was growing up, I mean, you were the soundtrack of my youth, man, was Mr. Bombastic. Take me into the creation of that one. How did that one come to you?
Well, you know, it's funny how it is. I did O Carolina as my first record. And that, you know, when I looked in the audience, it was a very mixed audience, young, old, male, female, you know, whatever it is, just a mixture of people. You know, the name Shaggy was, you know, I got it because, you know, my hair was shaggy, you know, and some people say it's because of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. But all of a sudden I did Bombastic. And overnight, my audience became majority women. And when I swung my hips to the left and the right, I heard screams. And then they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're playing a song from a guy called Shaggy. So I didn't think, I'm in England now when this is happening. So I'm like, okay, what's so weird about my name? What is Shag? And then they explained what Shag in England means. Like right. Austin Powers, Shag me, baby. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
yeah,
wow, that is such a, that is so, yeah, that is such a cooler story of how I got my name. That same Scooby-Doo. You know, so that's what I tell the chicks from now on. And then that song just became a signature sound of it. The minute I was writing the song, I'm in the car, I'm hearing the beat, all came to mind was more, because the beat was such a sexy beat. It sampled King Floyd. It had this really strong reggae, dancehall, heavy bass undertone. And all I kept doing was just moaning while I'm driving. Roll. Fantastic. Romantic. And it just started from that. I literally, that record was freestyled. I walked into the studio, coming out of my car, playing it, hooked up in the studio. I said, I had this vibe I had in the car. I'm just going to go with that vibe. And I just started doing the same, romantic, fantastic, and just put words to it as I went along in the studio. Didn't put anything to paper. Totally off the dome.
So awesome. And then, of course, once you get the hot shot, that was the one that really, really blew up. On a pair of samples, you know, because Angel was, of course, you know, you're covering Juice Newton's Angel of the Morning, and then the sample of the Steve Miller, the Joker. What's the magic of doing a sample, not only one, but two, and you turn it into your own, an Angel?
Well, you know what it is? We did it by default. At the time, I'm doing dancehall. Dancehall was not a very popular art form on mainstream radio. So, you know, how do a guy like me get on radio when there's not a format for me? So the only way I could do it is actually do samples from songs that were already formatted. So you take a song like The Joker, classic, big rock record. You know, rock radio is going to play me. The bass line is soulful. You take Juice Newton, Angel in the Morning, big classic hook, boom. You put a little dancehall flavor in the lyrical content to it. And then you create this kind of a hybrid gay rock soul kind of a record. You know what I'm saying? That is now easier now to get on pop radio.
Absolutely.
Because authentic dancehall at the time was not being played and would have been difficult.
Gotcha.
So those were the reasons why we used the sample. It's pretty much the same thing what Bob Marley did in the early days when I spoke to Chris Blackwell, who was the founder of Island Records and who signed Bob Marley and produced a lot of Bob Marley records. He said, the Wailers' original music was so hardcore that it could never get played on rock radio or pop radio. So what he did, he hired session musicians to overdub American-style overdubs on top of the Wailers' original music. All right, so that it could get on rock radio. So even Bob Marley's music, which is the authentic, the blueprint of what reggae music is right now, is actually a hybrid, to be honest with you. That's why I come to the conclusion that all music is a hybrid. It's taken from something else. And really, seven, no, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. There ain't much more you're going to go. We're not inventing the wheel here, brother. You know, it's already been done.
Exactly. So, well, we don't have time to go through all your songs, but I do. My listeners will kill me if I don't at least ask you about it, wasn't it? Because you wrote that, and it's a pretty genius idea to go back and forth like a conversation between two buddies, you and Rick Rock. Mm-hmm. How do you come up with that? To have it like a back and forth conversation like that.
Well, you know what? I watched Eddie Murphy was I think it was Raw. I know Delirious or Raw, where he had his kids in there, where he got caught. And he was like, "Hey, it wasn't me," but I caught you on the camera. It wasn't me. But I saw, you know, the whole thing was about that. I thought it was so funny, but it was so relatable. And in writing song, in my songwriting, I always write songs that are relatable to the public, to people, to general people. And I think about It Wasn't Me. It's either you're banging, you know somebody banging, or you wish you were banging. It's very relatable. And then you put a little bit of a comedy into it of him getting caught and, you know, him having this conversation and you being the devil on his shoulder. And at the end of the record, it says, "I'm going to tell her that I'm sorry for the things that I've done. You may think that you're a player, but you're completely lost." Which the moral of the story is, lying to your chick and cheating is totally wrong. Makes no sense. Bad move, bro. You know what I'm saying? People think that this song is really a cheat record, but it really isn't. It's really saying that cheating is a bad idea.
Right. It's a warning, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, appreciate your time. What else, in closing, you know, what, anything you want to tease? What are you working on next? I know you did that whole collaboration with Sting last year. I believe, you came and played when the Caps won the World Cup, or the Stanley Cup, right? I think you guys came and played.
Yeah.
Was that your last time?
That was my last time in D.C. We played the Stanley Cup. It was amazing. My next project right now is I just put the Wagwan album. I'm going on tour with UB40. And then we have the Little Mermaid that's coming up for the ABC TV special, where I'm playing Sebastian, and that's my next move, man. And just promote this album and just touring. So not really crazy.
Can you give us a quick sample of Under the Sea?
You gotta wait for the TV version, brother. I'm contractually sealed, my brother.
And who's Ariel? Isn't it Auli'i Cravalho from Moana?
Yeah, from Moana, yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. We can't wait for that. Yeah. All right, thanks so much. But first, everybody come out to Wolf Trap on September 1st, Shaggy and UB40. Thanks, Shaggy.
All right, man. Cool.